Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Carr, thank you very much for that. Now, Iran has accused Israel of assassinating Hamas's political leader Ismail Haniyeh in a strike in Tehran and vowed to avenge his death as the attack dramatically raises the risk of a further escalation of regional hostilities. For the latest from Israel, we're joined now by award-winning journalist Gideon Levy, a columnist with the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. And Gideon, you're welcome to the programme this afternoon. As I say, the killing of Hamas's political leader, he died in the airstrike in Tehran yesterday, appears to have dramatically raised the risk of further escalation. And now we have this statement from Iran vowing to avenge his death. What has been the reaction there?
Yes, it was a very irresponsible action, in my view. And we might face a regional war now, not less than this. To assassinate a political leader has some legal questions and legitimacy questions. To do it on the ground of Iran makes it even much more complicated, because Iran is now committed to react. And the question, what comes out of it? I mean, Israel had assassinated so many Palestinian and Arab leaders, one after the other. None of those assassinations had ever served any kind of interest. It was always the replacement, which was more extreme than the assassinate one. And in any case, that's not a solution for anything, to assassinate people, above all if it's your partner for negotiations. I must remind you that Ismail Haniyeh was a partner for the negotiations over a ceasefire deal. So you go and assassinate him. It's really quite depressing, this whole thing.
I know families of the hostages in Israel, well, some of them anyway, have echoed what you're saying there, pointing out that Ismail Haniyeh was a key negotiator in terms of trying to get a deal on a ceasefire and getting the hostages home. And they're asking, why kill him now when there is a deal on the table? Is there any answer to that question? Or what is the
only
answer?
The only answer that I can think about is that those who ordered this assassination were not interested in a deal and are not interested in a ceasefire and ending this terrible war in Gaza.
And is this the clearest signal yet? And we've seen plenty of signals in various ways from Benjamin Netanyahu that he doesn't seem to want to end the war. Is this the clearest signal yet then, do you think, that he doesn't want to end the war? And also, do you think it's possible he's trying to prolong it until the November elections in the hope that Donald Trump may get elected in the US?
It's all true and it's all connected. I mean, you don't need indications. Netanyahu said it very clearly. He doesn't want to end this war. He was very clear about it. And there is no deal without ending this war. And therefore, we are in a limbo, because he claims he's in favor of a deal, but he's against ending the war, which makes the whole situation impossible. Hostages keep on dying, and dozens and dozens of Palestinians, innocent Palestinians, are killed on a daily basis. Only today it was more than 40. Only in the last 3 days in Khan Yunis it was over 200. Daily people are killed for nothing, really for nothing.
Of course, there's a difference between not ending one war and potentially starting another, even bigger war, which some people are concerned about may be happening with Iran, but also with Lebanon and with Hezbollah. And we might get onto that in just a moment, but just generally on the ground there, are Israelis supportive of these actions, and are they aware of where the direction that Netanyahu may be leading the country?
Look, the main sentiment in Israel is of despair. There are Netanyahu's fans who are not small in figures, who believe in anything this man will do. And there are those who are protesting, but they have very minimal influence. And altogether, you feel that nobody knows where are we heading to, what do we want, what are the goals, and above all, what risks are we taking upon ourselves? Because by the time we are talking now, a regional war sounds like some theoretical term. It can turn into a catastrophe within hours. And not only catastrophe for soldiers, catastrophe for whole populations in both sides. And we lack some responsibility, some kind of leadership, which will put an end to all this crazy. From its beginning, this war, from its first day, was a huge mistake by Israel. Huge mistake. And I hope we will not regret it too much.
Another issue that has been occupying, I know, the country internally is the apparent rape, multiple rape and of a Palestinian prisoner by Israeli troops with the foreign object. When those Israeli troops were detained, far-right protesters protested against the detention of the Israeli troops. And there were really, really quite dramatic and serious protests against that. I just wonder, Gideon, where again, can you give us some insight into where the Israeli public lies in this? Because I know some Israeli lawmakers have defended the alleged rape of the Hamas prisoner or the potential Hamas prisoner. It wasn't proven that he was a member of Hamas.
Absolutely. And this is one of the most horrible damages also of this war, that fascism took over Israel, that fascist groups are now the most powerful and influential one. Can you believe it that a rape of detainees is becoming an issue and arresting the one who are suspected in raping becomes an issue between right and left, between government and opposition? I mean, we are reaching points that I don't remember ever in Israel. Fascism is taking over, no doubt about it. When members of parliament and even one minister are stepping into a military basis by force, and calling to release soldiers who are suspected in a horrible barbaric rape of a detainee, I mean, what else can you say? We are complaining about the barbaric actions of the Hamas. How can we dare to say something when this is similar things are being made by soldiers in uniform on behalf of the state?
I might ask you finally, Gideon, about news breaking this evening. An Al Jazeera journalist, Ismail Al-Ghul, has been killed in Gaza. I think it brings to 176 the number of journalists killed in Gaza since October 7th. Does that get any coverage? Is there any discussion in Israel about the number of journalists who have been killed in Gaza?
Not at all whatsoever. Again and again, I repeat myself, Israel does not see Gaza. And the Israeli media does not reflect Gaza. We are all preoccupied only with our own victims, victimizing ourselves and being totally convinced that what we do is always justice and what they do is always evil. And here you come with those horrible figures. Really, no war had so many killed journalists. No war had killed so many medical teams. But it's part of the overall picture. If you kill 40,000 civilians, so obviously journalists are part of them.
Journalists are a part of it, and as you say, medical teams as well. And I might ask you very finally, because we were speaking yesterday to a nurse who's working in Gaza at the moment, and she was describing the desperate situation on the ground there for patients and particularly for children. I know at the beginning of this war, there or after October 7th, there was a mood, I suppose, in Israel to cut off supplies, not by everybody, but cut off supplies to Gaza. And indeed, we did see that happen. And there are pledges from politicians that that would be done. And then some rowing back from those pledges. What do you think the mood is around that now? Because, again, we did see protesters, you know, attacking aid trucks that were going into Gaza. That we haven't seen that recently. Has that somewhat subsided, the sense that people in Gaza shouldn't be getting any aid?
Israel lost its humanity on the 7th of October. After the 7th of October, most of the Israelis, not all of them, obviously not all of them, but most of the Israelis came to the conclusion that Israel has the right to do whatever it wants, because what happened on the 7th of October, which was quite horrible, no doubt about this. But this does not legitimize what came after it. But unfortunately, there is very little discussion about it in Israel, and very little Israelis are disturbed by what we are doing in Gaza. We are much more disturbed about what happened to us, and almost nobody really cares about those atrocities and crimes which are on a daily basis. Don't forget, by the way, the West Bank. By the time that we are all preoccupied with Gaza, Israel is doing outrageous things also in the West Bank, irreversible steps, and nobody cares about this. So altogether, it's really a dark, dark hour.
Gideon Levy, thank you very much for joining us on the program this evening.